advocate, author, real estate consultant, and former head loss mitigator for IndyMac Bank with 22 plus years asset management background, over 1 million web views, top real estate website, top short sale trainer, Lee Honish.
That's why I say they're like the mom. See? And that's what I always tell people, you have to know how to reach these people through all their objections, because their objections are going to be fast and furious, because first of all, they're like, who are you and why are you here? You know, here's a 6'2", 250-pound Mexican standing at my door with some packet that I thought I was receiving from UPS or something. So those are the things that you're going to run up against all the time. And I always tell people, just expect that you're going to get negative feedback from these people immediately, because they're going to hit you negative right off the bat. And it's just like going into a fight. Until you get hit first, you're not going to really be into the fight. And they're going to hit you right at the door. Believe me, I've had doors slammed on me. I've had people talk to me through the window. I've had people tell me to go away. And yet I've had other people go to the opposite, come in to the house, want me to pray with them, have tea with them, eat with them, talk to them, and everything else. So, I mean, you're going to get a mixture of both. I'm not afraid of no. I've heard no all my life, so I don't really care about no. It's just another word for go to me. That's all. I turned it around to go. So, but most, what I found with most agents is that fear of how do I get past that loneliness? Because they're all talking about the loneliness, and it's constant loneliness.
Where's it taking off?
So you have to base your story on your past experience. Okay, you already know, like you said earlier, they drive me crazy because they want, and they want more. You know, once you've converted them into the short sale. But the one thing I always go to the door is I never, ever, 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 ever go to get the short sale. It's already out of my mind. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going
to
get the short sale.
Has that ever happened to you? They want you to, hey, listen, I decided today I'm going to do it.
I had one lady actually follow me off down her driveway asking me to do the short sale. And I said, I take the listing. I said, I can't. I don't have anything to take it with. My intentions were never to come here to do your listing. My intentions were only to come here to give you information and inform you. Because the more information you have, the more powerful you are, and the better decisions you can make for you and your family. Because people constantly ask me, what should I do? Should I do the short sale? I don't know. You should do whatever's best for your family. I'm just giving you the options, giving you kind of the GPS, the roadmap, where you need to turn. Whether you turn or not is completely up to you.
Now, what do you think about when you say your package, what do you think?
I give them the letter that Lee has in there disclosing that you're an agent, because I am a licensed agent in California. I always disclose that. I always talk honest to people and straight up. Because once I disclose that, in most cases I get even more slack. Oh, you're just here for the short sale. Again, I told you, I'm not here for the short sale. I'm just here to give you information. You can do a short sale with anybody you want. That's fine. But just make sure whoever you pick is knowledgeable and knows what they're doing. That's all. I said, but I don't come here at all to try to get the short sale. I put in the packet. I'll put some information off of ripoffreport.com, which has a lot of great, great stories that people post on the internet about how the bank took their house, cheated them out of the loan mod. You know, the next thing they know, there's a knock on the door, and it's a really cute real estate agent saying, I'm the REO agent, and they're talking, no, I'm doing a loan mod. No, you're not. The house has been sold already at the courthouse steps. So all those stories I include in there. And then there's also a government website that we just discovered not too long ago that actually gives you stats on the actual how many banks are doing loan mods, how many are successful, how many are failing. So that's really, really important. And then I also put the letter in there, that article that Lee has about him being the banker and how they really see the loan mod.
What's that website for the government?
I'll get it for you. I don't remember. We ran across it the last time, and we have it, but I don't have it right off the top of my head.
It's not on the one for, like, making homes affordable or, you know.
It was, Krista was the one that found it, and she actually printed it up and fixed it up and put it in as one of her packets. But I don't remember the website, because I was working with Nicole at the time. So, but the thing is, you know, you have to expect it. People are going to hit you right at the door. You just got to expect it. It's just like me as a cop. When I came to the door, in most cases, I was the last person people wanted to see. Because I was the retired deputy sheriff.
And really?
Yeah. Nobody really wanted to see me. Nobody called me for a carne asada. Nobody called me for their daughter's quinceañera. It was always because, you know, somebody got in a fight, somebody got ripped off, something bad happened. and that was always there. So there was always somebody that wanted to see me, and there was more people that didn't want to see me. So I got used to not being wanted to see me. So it didn't really matter to me. I just don't take a lot of things personal. I just shrug it off. But the one thing that we're up against all the time is just, now what if these people say no? Remember what no means? It means go. Seriously. You know, it's just like you and I, when we walk into a department store, you got to study what people are doing around you. When you walk in a department store, somebody inadvertently always comes up to you and asks you if you need help, right? What's the first thing you say? No, I'm just looking. Most of the time you say, no, I'm just looking. But as soon as you stop and look at those blouses, or you're looking at those shoes, someone always comes up, and if they're smart, they're going to approach you and say, oh, yeah, those New Balance shoes, those are great shoes. Those are really comfortable for walking. So they approach you past the negative and straight on to what you're looking at. That's why I use the car. The car always gets people because everybody loves their cars. Everybody loves their cars, whether it be an old car, a classic car, a new car, doesn't matter. Most people all love their cars, and they have some type of story about their car. And I'll tell people straight up, hey, look, you're losing your wife, you're losing your kids, you're losing your health for four walls and a roof. Is it really worth it? Truly, truly, is it worth it? I don't think it is.
Well, I mean, there was that story not too long ago. The lady, I think, was in Spain or somewhere, that shot herself, shot, killed herself because the bank took her house.
Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. Actually, you just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, and it happens a lot here,
even here now.
So, I mean, people get really hooked on, like Lee said, these guys are junkies. When I heard Lee say that the first time, it just totally rang a bell inside of me, because I'm used to dealing with junkies. I used to arrest them, so I know exactly. And it just like, okay, it's somebody throwing a cold bucket of water on me on a really cold night. When Lee said that, I go, oh my gosh, it's so true. They are junkies. They're stuck. They want to keep that house at no matter what the cost is. I have a lady right now that just called me and said, I have a trustee sale date on the 27th of next month. And I said, okay. And she said, I'm trying to get somebody that might be able to buy the house, and then I can buy it back from them. If you went to go see this house, you wouldn't want to live there. It's a really ugly house in a really ugly neighborhood, and she paid an ugly amount of money for the house. And she didn't like anything that I had to say to her. But I said, look, God wouldn't want me to lie to you. I'm going to tell you, you live in a shack. It is an ugly area. There is no reason why you should even live here. You don't strike me as a person that fits in this type of area. You know, why would you want to keep this? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You and I won't overpay for bananas or eggs or lettuce at the store, right? We'll literally drive somewhere to save, but yet we'll want to overpay for our homes. That is just the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I guess you gotta really tell it like in a story, you know, for them, or a different way for them to really pick it up. Like you said, the car is a great one, you know, because a lot of times we're just stuck in that house. It doesn't matter what it is, we lower it in the neighborhood. Kids go, you know, the neighbors or our family goes by. But really letting them know that they're really overpaying, you know, by using the story that you got.
The other favorite story I like is, well, little Johnny grew up here. Really? Well, little Johnny eventually is going to get married and move away. And you're going to continue to pay? Because little Johnny grew up here? I mean, none of us like change. Let's face it.
Yeah.
None of us like change. We like being in that comfortable cocoon that we're in, and we don't like the change. It's warm. It's nice. We don't want to change. And what I found is when realtors have to actually change their method of going out to get business, they're really uncomfortable with it. They really, really are. I've had a lot of them call me and say, hey, go with me to the door. Okay, I'll go with you to three doors, but the fourth door is all yours, and I'm stepping back. And I'll walk up to the first door, and I'll do my own spiel and talk to the person, and I'll get the person when the door is just cracked open this much to literally open up and then ask me for my information and so forth, and we go away, and then we follow back up with them. And then when they get the door, they're like, okay, I go, you're overthinking this. Just go. Like you said, it's a story. Because you're basing that story off of your experience of negotiating. You're basing that story off of maybe your own property. I had to short sell my house. I know what it's like. And I tell people straight up, I know what it's like to stand inside that door. I was once there. I was once in your shoes. It's scary. It's ugly. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. I was thinking about it all the time. It stressed me out. Okay? It cost me my marriage. I understand that. I know. Was it worth it? No. It wasn't worth it in the end. It really truly wasn't. And I know that now.
Good. this is to Showtime.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've shared this with these two. I don't know if I shared it with you. I have an issue with, I don't mind knocking on the door. I don't have a problem with that. Door knock. I don't like the method in which I'm doing it. In other words, I don't like the tag. I'm like, why can't I just talk to them? And I'm there. Because I had a lady call me. I had two ladies call me on being on a bait and switch. And that has not, that just sent me over the edge. I know I already had an issue with it. And then that happened and it just escalated. So you're laughing because you know how I feel.
No, I know how you feel. I've gotten it also, the bait and switch. And I just tell people, look, I'm not baiting and switching nothing because I'm not selling nothing. I'm not selling nothing. I'm giving you away free information. You can do whatever you want with it. Whatever you want with it, you can do. My job's to inform. You decide. Because that's all I'm doing. I'm just informing you. What's out there, I'm telling you the God honest truth, the way it works, and what's going to happen, and how it's going to come down. And it's up to you to do anything you want with it. You could curse me off your porch. It's okay. I'll go to church and say a prayer for you. That's cool. That's not a problem. But the problem is that you're not really selling anything. You felt bad because you really felt like you were selling something. Because if you were selling something, yeah, that would be a bait and switch. But you weren't. You weren't selling anything. All you were doing was giving away free information. You know, they lashed out at you because they're angry. Remember that junkie? You got to always remember that. And that's why you got to excuse 96% of whatever comes out of their brain. Because they're stuck on that house. And they'll say wicked things to you. I've had people say wicked things to me. It's okay. I'm a big guy. I can take it. No, it's all right. That happens. I don't like it. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you I don't like it. You know, does it bother me? Yeah, it does. But I'll never let you see it. I just shake it off and keep going. But, yeah, don't get... Because, see, you're not there to sell anything.
No,
really, truly, you're not.
I wasn't. I mean, I was there to give them the information.
Yeah. And those are the type of people... To me, they're giving you an opportunity to walk through that door, and you didn't walk through it. Because they're throwing something out at you, and they want to see how you're going to react to it. And if you can overcome that, then you're going to build rapport with them. That's the way I look at it. Because you've done that. We've all done that to somebody. We've all done that to somebody. Lashed out at somebody, and then kind of waited to see what their response was going to be. And then you base your opinion on their response after that. Because you're going like, oh, well, maybe I did hurt them. Or if they come back, like, well, you know what, I really like that person. I have respect for that person. And that's probably what they were doing to you. That's all. But you can't take it personal. Seriously, you can't. Because you're not there selling anything at all. If you go there with the mentality you're selling something, you're going to lose every single time. Because they're not buying. They're not buying. They're not. They're stuck on that loan mod. They're stuck on, I'm going to keep the house. They're stuck on, I'm going to stay. And I'm going to beat the system. All right. Good luck to you. I'll say a lot of prayers for you.
Do you go back to them, or you're not? Now that you're doing the notice of trustee, you're not going back to them.
See, I'm kind of a different puppy because I rise to a challenge. I love a challenge.
Right.
You tell me no, I want to know why you said no, and I'm going to get closer to you.
Right.
And okay. I really want to dig and find out why you said no, because that's how I learn. That's how I learn. I learn by watching you, observing you,
right,
and watching how you react and what you do and what you don't do. And I focus on those things, and that's how I adapt to what's going on around me. Because of the type of jobs that I had in law enforcement, I always had to adapt.
Yeah.
So I always had to continue doing that, and I learned to do that at a very quick, rapid pace. When they lock you in a cell with 150, you know, Sindo mob guys, okay, or Aryan Brotherhoods guys, and you got to be able to talk their language. You got to walk their walk and talk their talk. And that's what you're doing today when you're going to those people's houses, really. You're learning to walk and talk like that. That's what you're doing. And to overcome what they're throwing at you, because they're going to throw poison at you. You just got to, you got to know that already. They're going to throw all sorts of wicked things at you. Some will be really nice and some won't. But they'll feed off of your energy and they'll know. If you're nervous, if you're not sure of yourself, they can read it and feel it.
Right.
Because remember, you're in their backyard. Okay? It's just like, you know, when I had a rookie partner one time, she said, we're not going to chase that guy. I go, I'm not going down that alley. This guy's wanted for stealing some beer. It's not worth my life.
Right.
I'm in his backyard now. I'm not going down there. It's okay. You know, if the clerk feels that bad or the owner feels that bad about the liquor store, I'll pay him for the beer. It's cool. you know, you just have to know which angle to reach people and how to get them. Like I said, it's a story.
You said like pick your battles.
Yeah,
you
pick
like that lady that you're talking about, you know, the shack and all stuff. I mean, I'm probably not gonna do anything there, right?
No, I'm gonna list her house.
You're gonna list her house.
Oh, I feel confident I'm gonna list her house. Yeah. Okay. It's just gonna take one or two more doctor visits. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. We're gonna list her house because she really needs help. And see, I look at it that way. I don't look at it as, okay, it's another listing I got under and I got more commission. I'm not about the commission. I'm about the mission. Seriously. I'm about the mission. That's what I'm about. And the mission is because, I was once there. I know what it feels like to have to do a short sale and get all these information and figure out all this stuff and not know what to do and you have all these decisions and it's on your mind constantly.
Say some of these people say to you, look, and I got I heard the news that we're, you know, some people get 3,000, 10,000, 20, 30,000. What are the chances I can get some money at the close?
The chances?
Yeah.
Totally depend.
I'm at the door.
Antonio, that chance, that's a very good question. I'm going to tell you this. That totally depends on who the investor is of this mortgage and if they participate in that program. But that program is available, and if you're really interested in it, it's going to take you a little bit longer, just so you know. Okay? They're going to scrutinize you and ask you for more information. So if you don't like filling out paperwork, you may want to think that over, okay? And they're going to ask for more of your financials, your bank statements, your pay stubs. They want to know how many times you go to the bathroom, how many times, where you go. Just kidding, but, you know, I'm trying to get you to loosen up.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a little bit longer because it's government. It's just like going to the DMV. How many times have you gone to the DMV, Antonio, and you see, you know, 18 people standing around in only two lines and 140 people standing outside waiting to get served? It's the same thing here. So, but it only depends on if that investor participates in that program, because it is a program available to them, but not all of them participate, and also it qualifies off your income as well.
So it's a lot of factors.
Yeah. So it just depends.
Doesn't necessarily mean, excuse me, because B of A has done it for someone else, that B of A is going to do it for you.
Yeah, for you, yeah. But you know, that's, yeah, and I always tell people, that's a great question, and I can answer it this way. And then I go into the spiel real quick.
Right. Okay.
One of the things that you're running into with some of these people is we're having to give them better information. That's all. One of the things that I did is I started writing down people's frequently asked questions. Okay.
Okay.
Because you're gonna get into that, and the faster you can do that, you can have that form right there. So when you meet with that person, with that homeowner, okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us some of them? Come on.
Yeah.
With the answer to the question.
Yeah. One of the top questions they asked me is, how long can I live here for free? And I'm like,
past the long time it's reserved.
You can live here for free.
Yeah. And that's how I answer it sometimes. I go, Antonio, how long have you been here already without making the payment?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years. And your payment, you said, is $2,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
So times 12, that's 24. So 48, you know, you made a lot of money already. That's awesome. That's awesome. Have you saved any of it?
Some of it.
Oh, good. So, the other one is they're going to ask you, well, you know, my cousin's nephew's baby sister's neighbor got $30,000. Again, right. The same question. Yeah, they did. That's awesome. That's sweet. Their realtor got them that. No, they didn't. Because I'll be the first one to tell you.
It wasn't the realtor.
It wasn't the realtor. It's not going to be me that's going to get you the money. I'm going to apply for it, and it's up to them to decide whether they're going to give it to you or not. So you have to, it's just like anything else. It's just like when you and I take a test. We don't know if we're going to pass it until we've completed it and they've graded it. And it's the same thing with that money. We don't know yet until after we apply and they look at all the stuff. And again, like with you, you got to remember, homeowner, they're going to scrutinize everything. So they're going to ask us for even more stuff. So if you're not really comfortable giving up information, maybe the government program isn't for you. It's going to take longer. Yeah, they're going to give you money. But one of the other things is I tell people, well, I want the government program. I want to stay in there. But they don't realize they're paying $400 a month for their HOA, which I told them to keep active, right? So 4 times 12 is 48. They're going to get $3,000 back, but they're going to spend $4,800 to get $3,000 back. Does that make sense to you? And they're like, oh, no. But I can't get more. I don't know. Maybe you can get 6. Maybe you can get 30. I don't know.
Is that 30 still there?
I haven't seen one. I haven't done one in over a year now.
So it went away.
The very last one I got from Bank of America was just this month, was 12,000, 12,600. It was 3,000 and then like another 9,000 for relocation and plus the HOPA or something like that. Oh. So I just submitted without an offer and went through their system, and then they said, oh, they qualify for HOPA, and then it went. And the people came down to me, and they, you know, they brought me some food and everything, and I go, look, I'd love to take the credit, but it wasn't me, it was the bank. I just applied for it, and they gave it to us, so it wasn't me, really. I mean, I just applied for it, and I know the programs are out there, and I know how to apply for them, and that's all I did. But that was good enough for them. I mean, they're ready to.
Now, how do you know about which programs are out there, based on?
The HOPA.
Well, we know the HOPA's there, but how do you know if there's other ones available?
I'll ask the bank.
You'll just ask them.
That's the bank, yeah. I'm not afraid to ask. Right. I ask constantly. The Bible says you have not because you've asked, so why not ask?
Right.
I constantly ask. And I'll play dumb with the negotiators when I do get on the phone with them. I don't negotiate a whole lot anymore.
Right.
But when I do get on with them, I'll ask them. You know? I'll just tell them, hey, look, I got to hurry up and make this go through because I got my Yugo payment at the end of the month. And, you know, it gets you to laugh. I just want you to laugh. Because once I get you to laugh, you get off of...
Yeah, you get off the stairs.
Yeah, and if you do the same with the homeowners...
Yeah.
One of the things that I do when I go up to a house is I'm very observant, so I always look what's in the house. I look what's in the driveway, I look what the grass looks like, the color of the house, what's on the porch, what the mailbox looks... I mean, I look at everything that's going to tell me something about that homeowner. Something is going to tell me about that homeowner. And it can be as simple as a Christmas tree that looks awesome, and I'll make a comment about it. And now I'm off of the loan mod, and I'm on to the tree, which is their pride and joy, and that big bay window overlooking the street. So, you know, there's a lot of things out there that you can use for you to get your point across to these people, because that's all you're trying to do, just get information and get them to understand where it's going. Because, like Lee says, it's going to transfer title. It's going to transfer title. One way or the other, it's going to transfer title. Either a trustee sale, okay, or a short sale.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going to transfer title. It has.
Do you recall that gentleman we went to, and he was like even?
Yeah. Or they raised the mortgage for him, the guy that was in the service.
No, the other one. That was he worked at the
hotel.
Oh,
the waiter dude.
The waiter dude.
Yeah. I remember.
He was I don't know how we would have handled that. Because he wasn't really a short.
You know, we put the, 60, 90 day at that moment, you know, we were doing the stickers. He called right away. We went to Nate's neighborhood. We went right back. We were doing it together. And he happened to be off for 3-4 months for surgery or something. But he was able to, he owed a lot less than what the house is worth. So,
he wanted to keep it.
So, I mean, there's...
Could he afford it?
He said he's a waiter. He said he could afford it, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, he could afford
it.
He just was behind for when he was
for 3-4 months.
He's
a waiter,
he's
on TH and all that stuff.
Right.
But he could afford it when he worked. Since he was off. And he was getting disability that didn't
cover it.
Right.
Was he going back to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was already going back to work.
He is already back.
So now, I mean, I still got the email and everything. I did, community service.
If you could help that guy out, he's a great commercial for you. That's all I can tell you. Because it would have been as easy as for him to sign an authorization for you. You call the bank, you go, hey, he wants to get caught up again. How can he work this out? I want to try to help him any way I can. Because that guy's a great testimony.
But you still find a way to help him out, even if it's making a call phone for him.
Yeah, even if he comes in your office and you get on a three-way, I've done that before.
Yeah.
I've done that before because really, in that case, you're an advocate, and that's what you really are. Remember, you're an advocate first, an advocate second, an advocate third, and then you're a realtor last. And that's the way you have to approach these doors. You know, that's a perfect opportunity to help that guy and get a good testimonial from him, because those people will give you testimonials.
Okay, then I'll keep that thinking for the next guy.
If you still have his email, I would just follow up with him.
I still have it.
Just ask him real quick how it's going.
And that lady, too, remember the one on Termont?
Yeah.
Her husband, he was going to meet with me, and then they decided not to meet with me, and they...
You don't know where they're at right now. Lots of people have thought about it.
Okay. Because, I mean, we've had opportunities. There were opportunities, but they weren't necessarily opportunities to do the short sale, but we didn't know how to... They were doing a long line, but they just needed a couple of things to happen for them, and then they would be okay. And then we actually met a guy that they reduced his mortgage, right? Remember the guy that was on crutches? They reduced his mortgage, and then he owed four, and it's worth about four, and his payments were right where they wanted.
And he's still in the house?
He's still in the house.
Yeah.
And he could cover it.
He could cover it.
Those are the type of people, you know, I've run into people like that too, and then I've asked them for a copy of their paperwork.
Yeah.
Because I want to show other people. And they're willing to help you. Because they know that you're going there to help. You're not really going there, like I said, you're not selling anything.
Right.
I don't take anything with me that sells. In the packet, the only thing that I'll have with me, sometimes I put in the packet, sometimes I don't, is an authorization to talk to the bank. But I usually try to talk people to come back to the office and we get on a three-way, and we'll call the bank together. This way they're listening to how I'm talking to the bank, and what exactly the bank is saying.
Can you give me a scenario, for example? I know that you have somebody putting a, you know, monster sticker for free, right?
Yes.
And then they call you, and you know, or they, you know, you get the information. You're the one that goes.
No, I don't go to
your partner or your son or something goes to the
bank. To convert?
Yeah.
Oh no, Nicole goes to convert. I don't go convert anymore. I don't do that anymore.
Okay. What is Nicole?
Lee doesn't want me to convert anymore. The dog.
Why?
Why? Because he wants me to train other people to do it.
I got you. Okay, so Nicole goes to the door. What does she say?
She goes in there, introduces herself.
Yeah.
She says that she's here to deliver their packet, okay? And then she goes into what's in the packet, okay? And then she, because she'll pull out the paperwork and hand it to him and kind of describe it. Sometimes, literally with the packet, I've gotten some people where I've never even given them the packet because I just started a conversation with them. I put it underneath my elbow, my arm, and I'm just there talking with them, and then after I'm done, they never even got the packet.
Okay.
Because I just build rapport with them the moment they open the door and started talking to them.
Okay. So she built a rapport for you. Mm-hmm.
She's a small petite girl that poses no threat to nobody. She's very soft spoken. She comes in, she just describes who she is, what she's there for, and what she's delivering, and giving them information. She's never a threat. She gets hugs from people. She gets really positive contact from people because she doesn't walk, talk, or smell like a realtor. Because I've had even people tell me, they go, yeah, these realtors are coming around here. They're like buzzards. They're taking pictures of the house, this, that, and the other. And he's bad-mouthing realtors. And I go, can I say something to you? He goes, what? I go, I'm a realtor. And I've seen people's jaw drop. They're like, what? I go, I'm a realtor. You're a realtor? Yeah. No way. No way? Really?
Sorry. So that's cool. She does a conversion. You already have the info. What's the next step? You just email and call?
She tries to get an appointment. She tries to get them, if they're interested, to come into the office and get an appointment. And then once they come in the office, then we start talking.
Is everything for you, they come to you, or are you sometimes going to the people's house?
It depends. When we first started doing them around the office, they were coming to us. But now we've reached out much, much further out, so we're going to them.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to them.
And at that moment, that's when you go with your visit agreement and everything else?
You can if you want to. You have to get the feel for the person, you know, once you're there. I have them in my bag. I'm not going to tell you I don't have
them. You can fill out the
Yeah, I do have them where they can sign them. I can get them filled out real quick, and then I can just start, you know, working it. Because I don't do anything without the listing agreement. My brokers always say, we got to get a listing agreement first before you do anything else if you want to start, you know. It's just a three-way call. That's not a big deal because they're going to talk to the bank and they're going to say, yeah, they're giving you a verbal authorization right there. But to actually start doing anything without them, you really need the listing agreement. Yeah. So, and when I go to the house, sometimes it's better because they're more comfortable. They don't feel threatened like in your office.
They know why you're coming, right?
Yeah,
they know why you're coming. They give them more further info on their short sale.
Yeah, to follow up. Yeah. Because this is, you're talking about after Nicole has gotten there, giving them the information and everything, then they'll call back, and they'll say, yeah, we get an appointment. Okay, sure. Then, you know, we'll come in, and we start talking to them. And it's a casual conversation is all it is. I kind of want to get a feel for people and let them kind of lead where they want to go first. And then when I know where they want to go, then that's where I know how to take them.
So then after that meeting, you're not really doing anything, maybe sizing it up, see if it's, you know, maybe did they're ready to list, or maybe their hopes are not there yet to, you know, to be realistic. How much time do you spend, like, when you go?
When I go to somebody's house?
Yeah. After the first,
about 90 minutes. Because, well, it's usually about 30 minutes about the house and how they love it and how your kids grew up there. And then it starts into questions about, you know, the short sale and how are they going to be able to own again. And then what are they going to do because they have bad credit because they can't rent and so forth and so on. But before I go back there personally, before I go back to the house, I try to go with as much information as I can. I already know what that house would rent for if they were renting it. I more or less have an understanding of what their payment's going to be already at that point. If they're renting that, if their modified payment is $2,800 and they can rent it for $1,800, how does that make sense to anybody? Yeah. When I can have you put away $1,000 a month for 2 years or 3 years, takes you to rebuild back your credit, get past the short sale, and then get right back in the game. Why wouldn't anybody take that deal?
But we all have more.
Yeah. Exactly. And remember, the $100,000 that they're upside down is not really $100,000. You have to explain this to people. I told you, you're not really $100,000 upside down.
Why? It's only $100,000 more.
Because remember, interest. Remember, it's a fully amortized loan. So that $100,000 really turns into more than $100,000. Okay? Remember, when you took out that loan for $500,000, you saw the ending of what you were going to pay back was $1 million, right? It doubled. See? And then that, I always tell people too, I go, you understand in the loan mod what's going to happen, right? You owe $600,000 on your house. It's worth $400,000. That $200,000, they're just going to put in the freezer. They're not going to charge you interest on it. It's just sitting in the freezer, right? But they're charging you interest on the $400,000 for 40 years. You're already in this house 10 years. You really only owe 20. Now you've doubled that to 40. And then we got to pull out what's in the freezer, right? Because that money now, you're going to have to take out another mortgage on it. Or do you have it cash where you can just pay it off with a loan payment? So now you're talking another 15, 30 years of interest. Just, you know. A lot of people don't, because like what Lee said, you know, they're junkies. They're just focused on that needle.
Yeah.
They don't see what's...
A bigger picture.
Yeah. You know? And what you're there to do is paint the bigger picture and show them exactly what's coming down the pipe. Because we all know what's coming down the pipe. Like he said, it's going to change title. It's going to be a title transfer. That's the bottom line. It's going to transfer title. Yeah. It's just like your car. You can drive your car all day and it runs out of gas. It's going to stop until you fill it up. And most people just need somebody like us there in front of them to sit there and go, you know what? Man, you're right. You're right. I believe by a philosophy I can lie and comfort you or tell you the truth and educate you. Which one do you want? And I'll tell that to homeowners. Educate me. All right. Here we go. Stand by. It's going to get rough. I mean, I'm not brutal. I'm not mean.
No, you just...
But I'm just telling you the way it is, yeah. You know, because none of us would go into a car dealership, really, and say, oh, that Q35 Infiniti is 40? How about if I give you 45? It's not going to happen. You're all going to go and start it at 30 in hopes that you can get it for 35 versus 40, right? And that's the second single biggest thing that we're all going to buy is a car besides our house. And I've had homeowner after homeowner tell me, you know what? You hit me hard, and you hit me fast, and you hit me furious, but everything you said I couldn't get mad at because it was the truth.
Right.
That's true, man. And I said, well, you know, you can't. The truth never offends me.
Right.
I face it, fix it, and then just move on. Because it is what it is. I can't change it until I recognize it and I see it. And that's what those people are going, like your clients. You know, they're going through some huge changes. Huge changes. Where am I going to live? I'm a failure. Everybody thinks, oh my God, I lost my house. I'm the worst of the worst. Yeah.
Well, you know, what's ironic is the wife is very cooperative. Anything, everything. She's moved on. She moved out 6 months ago. She's like, we should have done this 6 months ago. Anything I ask her,
it's there.
It's done. The husband, it's 2 days or three. And then Myra's like, this is 2 days or a day. It's not that bad.
But he cooperates at the end.
Yeah, but it's the agony of, like, I want to hurry up. And then he tells me, well, I want to have a New Year's Eve party here, so I don't want to. They can't close before the 31st.
And you're ready to close pretty soon?
I don't think we're going to close on the
31st.
But you didn't want to keep the grass green.
But now you want to have a party.
Right, and it's a huge lot. It's not like an average front yard.
What do you guys use to communicate with your sellers as far as the short sale going on?
I do email, because the wife is email. She's old, she's good with that. The husband I have to call and update on.
They live in the same house, right?
No, they live in two different places. Okay. One lives in Riverside, one lives in City of City.
Okay. Sorry. I saw.
So with her, I can email her what I need. I forgot to email her today just to let her know where we are with
the process.
With the process, yeah, because like that appraiser went out. I got the other half of the grant deed because they did it separately. That's what I'm saying.
Those are hard.
And they're in two different locations.
Just remember one thing, though. This is what I tell a lot of people, too. Remember one thing about us. It's going to take our clients, a year after they close to finally realize, wow.
Feel better.
Yeah, they really did a lot for me. You really did a lot for me. You put up with a lot of my garbage because the stress of the house is gone, okay? The phone calls have stopped coming. The nasty letters have stopped coming. Everything has stopped now all of a sudden. And now you can stop and hear the birds, the bees and the trees, and it just makes a huge difference. I can't tell you countless times how many times clients have come back to me a year, year and a half later and go, hey man, you know what, Steve, I just want to thank you so much for what you did. You really did help us out.
One of my first ones, she was actually the first person I ever sold a house to. I ended up having to do a short sale for her in 2010. And she's the same way. She's like, she filed BK after that. She got everything clear. She started fresh, and then her former mother-in-law, a year later, helped bought a house for her that she's paying. So she actually is living in a house
she can afford, right? Isn't that new price?
She's a good testimonial.
She's like a raving fan.
She's a good testimonial you could even put in that packet you're going to deliver. Like I said, I don't hide the fact that I'm a realtor. I really don't. I never hide it. I never ever try to hide it. I don't hide it, period. I just don't. There's no reason. But
right,
I
don't want to hide it.
Like I always tell people. I always tell people I'm an advocate. I'm here to give you information. You can do whatever you want with it. You can burn it, read it, throw it away, do whatever you want. It's okay.
I hear you say that you know, we're an advocate, they're trying to help. But I hear you say that one of the first things you get up right off the bat is something, look, just to let you know, I'm a realtor.
Right.
But I'm an advocate. Is that how you normally start every single time with most of the people? Just so they don't think that you're doing the, you know, something.
No, I don't, that's not one of the first things I hit verbally, no. That's not one of the first things.
I was thinking that's
what you did. No. The letter is in there that I am, and it's signed by me. I sign it. If it comes up in the conversation, I'll cover it. But it's not something I lead with. I just want to lead with information.
Okay.
Just to show them that I'm legit.
So you pass the letter and go straight into whatever else is in your packet.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes some people just go, oh, you know, they'll take the packet and they'll set it down and they'll go, oh, and they start firing off questions to you.
You're at that family's house for 90 minutes. You kind of sense that they should, you know, obviously, short sale is the best answer for them. They don't see it yet, but they're kind of leaning to it. You just say, look, I'll be in touch with you, call me later, whatever.
This is what I'm going to say. Okay, Antonio, I understand maybe you don't want to make a decision right now, and I totally respect that. I want you to talk it over with your wife, have a nice glass of wine, and figure out what's best for you guys. Because
yes.
It isn't about me. It's about you. Seriously, it's about you. That's what it's about. It's completely about you, and I understand that. Don't worry about the fact that I drove here for, you know, 40 minutes or whatever. But it doesn't matter. No, seriously, because I'm just saying that because that'll come up. Oh, but you drove here a long way. I understand that. But I want you guys both, because you're a team. Okay, and you got to be comfortable with this. You both got to agree. Because if you don't agree, I don't want to help either one of you. Because I don't want to be the friction that's in between you. Okay, I just don't. Okay, you know, your husband's more important, your wife's more important, far more important, your kids are more important. These are four walls and a ceiling, that's all it is. And if you don't see it as that, you're going to lose everything else around you. You really are.
Do you put the loan my book in there?
No.
You don't put the loan mod. So what you just said, you put in that the disclosure, the article on loan mods from
ripoffreport.com. The stats from the government.
Right, the stats from the government and the letter from Lee.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's big, man.
That's basically all I give because most people, aren't, let's face it, aren't really receptive to reading that. They're going off of you. That's why I tell everybody in the system, I go, look, this is going to get you eye to eye, mano to mano, face to face with that person. All of us have been at a party, right? And we overheard somebody talking about how they're going to lose their house or something, right? And you immediately go into the conversation. You find a way to get in that conversation. I'm telling you, because I've seen it, it's happened to me, and I've seen it happening around me to other agents while I'm at a party. And all of a sudden your laser beam goes on. And immediately right away, you're going to go into the question and answer phase of your presentation. Did you know that you might be able to get money from the bank? If you literally walk away from the house, you have a good chance that the bank can come back after you. You understand that, right? So right there, you're acting as an advocate. Because you're not there with the paper and say, hey, sign this listing agreement, I'll sell your house, and I'll make all your problems go away. Because now you sound like a used car salesman. See? But you're really there just to give information. It's the same thing here. When you go door-to-door with them, you're face-to-face with them. And that's the real opportunity. It's not really about the packet. It's really about the fact that you're face-to-face with these people, and they're seeing everything now, and they're understanding you're building rapport. Because, I mean, let's just face it. We're not selling cell phones. We're not. We're playing with people's lives. That's a huge commitment. 30 years. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, it's huge. I had a young couple that's first-time buyers, and they want to buy this older house, and they want to fix it up. And I said, That's fine. This is what I'm going to do, though. I want you guys to do this homework for me. They said, what's that? I said, I want you guys to go down to Home Depot, and I want you to price paint, carpet, fixtures, everything you think you're going to need in that house, drapes. When they came back, they're like, let's go for the newer house, Goose. Because they call me Goose. And I said, sure. Why the change? Because it's going to cost us a ton just in material. And that's not including putting up with the contractors, because we called contractors like you told us to do. And we started getting bids. And that's a huge headache we're going to take on. We're not interested. Not every house is for every person. So you have to understand. You know, but they went in it innocently thinking, oh, we're going to get this house, we're going to work together, yeah, we're going to fix all this up. When you start preparing the house, you're going like, whoa.
So normally what happens in that case, too, when you take them to the first kind of like TLC one,
you're
like,
yeah.
At least for me, that's what
I'll... No, they do. They'll shrug.
They'll shrug. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. You want turnkey. I'm telling you, all you want to do is factor you all up.
And
offloader.
And
that's it.
Yep. Hey, tell us about walking away from the house.
Walking away from the house?
Yeah, the bank is going to come out.
When like the client says to me that, oh, okay, well, you know that if you have a second and you foreclose, that second is left out there.
Right.
So that second still has the option to exercise to come after you if you want. Okay? And even if you don't have a second, because of my prior work that I did, I deal with a lot of law enforcement. And a lot of those guys, for you to promote into specialized units or anywhere within the department, one of the first things they always do is they do a credit check. I mean, how good is it going to look on your record to promote, okay, into a specialized unit, maybe vice or something, where you're dealing with money and drugs and prostitutes and all sorts of things? Yeah, and all of a sudden you have a foreclosure on your credit. I can guarantee you, you're going to be kicked off that list.
Or you can ask them if they have a government security clearance.
Yep, that's another one too. Because I deal a lot with a lot of guys from the FBI, a lot of guys from INS, from Customs, ICE, everything else. So it's the same thing. And you know, there's always that thing that looms on them. Some people, you know, I work at Chevron. It doesn't matter if I foreclose. No, it doesn't matter. But because I've had people tell me that at the door, and I'll see a little kid run by, and I'll go, so you really don't care about your kid's college? Why would you say that? Because if you let it go, you're going to ruin your credit for sure. And you don't think you're going to pay a little bit more for the loans for little Johnny because you failed the plan?
There you go again. You saw something
personal. Yeah, something that's there. Because I have kids too. You know, Arisa is 17 now. Giovanni's 14. And I have a little one, Domenico, who's 10 months old. So, you know, I've got three reasons why I want to keep my credit going. So, and it's the same thing. And again, it's just being observant of what's around you. And what you can reach people with.
Right, that's a good question that you brought up, because people always say, well, I'm not going to ever buy a house, or I'm not going to never use credit again. I'm not going to...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you a question. So if you go into one restaurant, you have a really bad meal, you're never going to eat out again, right? You're going to save a lot of money that way. That's smart. That's really smart. You're never going to buy another house again. Never's a long time. And you're going to rent? And at work, memory serves me right, you usually go up in pay, not down. And once you go up, the government wants what? More taxes, right? So you're not going to use any write-offs on the house. So what's your secret? What other write-offs do you got? Let me know, because, man, I'm all ears on this one, because I need some write-offs.
Well, actually, the wife told me the one, this particular case, she told me that. Because she's retired with a good, she's getting a good sum of money, mm-hmm. like $5,000, $6,000 a month between Social Security and her house.
And they're going to tax her every month on that. She understands that, right?
Right.
Because I have a retirement check, too, and I get taxed on my retirement check.
And I said to her, you mean you're never going to buy anything? You're going to stay paying $2,000 a month in this apartment studio? Well, I guess you can never say that.
See?
I said, here's the thing, what this is going to do for you. It's going to give you options. At least you have the option now, and you can purchase something in about 3 years. If you let it go, plus it's $250, they're coming after you. I told them to put it in. $250 second, they're coming after you.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
So now at least you have the option. If you want to buy something in a couple of years, then it's there. And she agreed with that. She did agree with that. She always was agreement to do the short sale and not walk away.
Did she do the short sale?
She's doing it.
Oh, good. But see how you had one objection, and then you matched it with a question. And the question always gets people off of what they're, that negative, what I call negative objection that they have. Because, so you're never going to buy again? You know? And you realize that $5,000 a month retirement is taxable, and it will be taxed. Uncle Sam's not going to let that go. And if you don't have a plan to try to avoid that, then you're heading right back down to that trap. Because remember, the banks always have two options. They have option A and option B. We're going to do the loan mod, yeah. And they tell the client, I tell the clients, they're telling you, yeah, watch the loan mod. Watch the loan mod, because this hand's coming up to you. And next thing you know, you got an REO agent. You need to get out, because we're selling the house.
Well, here's an interesting thing I learned yesterday, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I didn't. One of the loan officers in my office, I think he was trying to do a refinance for a client. Client has 780 FICO scores, been on time, did a loan mod on one of their properties, and it's shown on the credit report as a loan modification, and the Fannie Mae guideline says it has to be 4 years out that the loan mod has been done in order for them.
It's got to mature for 4 years, yep.
So, in order for them to refinance.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So see, and right there you're an advocate, because you're giving them that information that no one else is giving them. Okay, you're not approaching the door as, hey, I'm here to list your house. No, here's everything that's on the table. Here's the buffet line. Pick whatever you want out of here. It's all yours. Now, you're presenting all the options to them. You're presenting all the information to them. And then it's up to them to decide.
Right, because see, what can happen is, say they do the loan mod, they're cool, they do want to buy something else, for whatever reason. Again.
No.
The Fannie Mae guideline. It has to be 4 years that thing has done.
That piece of information is one that you may want to take with you to the door. Not in the packet, but just with you into the door.
Right.
You know, because when I was going to the door, because I was doing the monster, I always carried a bag with me, like a messenger bag, and I would open it up, okay? And in there I did have information, stuff like that as well.
That was just, the reason it came up, he was asking my broker, look at this and tell me, why can't I do this? He already knew, but he wanted my broker to look at it and say, what on here do you see that tells you that they would be denied? And he looked at it, and he looked at it, got to all the derogatory, there was no derogatories, there was nothing. And he says, look, there's nothing on here. And he goes, go back here, and he showed it to him, right on there. I think it's Chase, and it's his loan modification, and he did it in the end of, like, 2010.
So you're saying a loan mod has to be seasoned for 4 years before they can get another loan?
Because remember, for them to do the loan mod, what's the first thing the banks tell them to do? Stop what? Making their payments.
Well, see, this guy didn't have, I think he didn't have the derogatories on there. I didn't see it. they were just discussing it in front of me, and he even, that's when this word What does that mean? Give your opinion? He goes, no, bail out. Because this guy, he's really smart, so he's always. And that's how this whole discussion started about the LOMA. And I said to him, did they do a short sale or a LOMA, or is it a foreclosure? And he didn't answer me. But it wasn't like evident right on there. It wasn't like somebody would look at, it wasn't like if you got an offer and you were looking through it and you saw credit scores, you would never look at those trade lines and see like what's going on.
Yeah.
The underwriter was looking.
And remember,
denied it.
There may not be anything derogatory, but you know how simple it is to take things off your credit. It's not, I mean, if they don't respond back in 30 days, they got to take it off anyways, and they do, right? So that's why, but as soon as they see the loan mod, most underwriters go, we're assuming they didn't pay, okay? And so they've already got mortgage lates. There was a problem there. So any type of little problem, they're going to immediately stop it. And that's why they want that four-year right. term there of a history
right.
of 48 payments. All on time, no problem. And then, okay, now we'll go ahead and modify it. But that's a good article to take with you, because those are all objections that you're going to get at the door from.
That was incredible. It's like, oh, my God. Yep. So I learned something new yesterday, because I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Fannie and Freddie have different guidelines, and they're constantly changing, so you have to constantly read them.
Right. And then he can do an FHA, but they don't really want to do it. Because instead of getting a 2.3, they're going to get something like a 4.0, 4.7, when you add the rate in, and then
because of the risk, because of the loan mod risk.
And then you have to add in the insurance on the FHA. Yeah. So the rate is actually going to be more.
And you know the funny part is, people lock onto that rate, and that's the rate for the whole term of the loan, right?
Right.
What happens to that rate when you pay off the loan early? Goes down. Yeah. So, but it's funny.
But
how
you can always streamline again. I mean, people are streamlining now from like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know how people get so focused on the rate. You can always stream.
Set needle.
You can always streamline down, because people are streamlining down now.
Sure. But again, it's that needle. And as long as, see, the more aware you are of who you're dealing with and who you're talking
right,
to
right.
and being able to read that person quickly,
right.
then the faster you're going to be able to get that information into them where they can start processing it and start learning it. And a lot of people are going to test you. A lot of people do that to me. They'll test me. They'll start firing off questions to see what you really know. And you can tell that they've already been researching online. They're not as dumb as they appear to be. There's a reason why they're asking those specific questions, because they already know. And they're kind of testing you to see. Because I've had clients afterwards say, you know what, you answered every single question that I asked you correctly, and I started to get more confident in you. Like, well, I know you. I was building a rapport with you. I knew what you were doing. It's okay. I don't have anything to hide. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I started to trust you.
I mean, I've gone up against people that have I went up with an attorney. She's fighting this whole thing about who had the note, who did, you know, that whole scenario about it got sold off.
They just want to keep it long.
I've already filed court papers.
I think lawyers are funny. I just think they're funny. Some little lawyer in your podunk town is going to take on the whole seventh floor of Bank of America of high-powered, top of the line attorneys.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to if she's lost the property,
because I've had that where people say, I have an attorney doing my loan mod. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Really? How's that working out? It's not. Yes, it is. It's not. That's why I'm at your door, because there's a trustee sale date.
Right.
If it was working out, he would already stop that.
I've gone and I've had two that they've already. One's in federal court now.
Yep.
One's under consumer protection, whatever that is.
Oh yeah.
I've had two or three people that I'm thinking they were doing a loan with these people.
Only to find out later that they're not.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people, because I'll show them. You know, because we'll have the paperwork there from like foreclosure radar,
right.
And it'll show
the trustee.
Right,
yeah. And it'll show when we ran it. We ran it that morning.
Right.
You know, because well, that's when they call us and they say they want the packet. So then we go back with, we pull that information. We take that with us.
You got that into your package.
That's in my packet, not in their packet. That's just my information, just like that FHA, you know, information we're talking about. Okay, that stuff is there. But in the packet, it's just simple. I just put like four pieces of information. That's it. I try to keep it as simple as possible because most of those people aren't really receptive to what you're going to give them. They're more receptive to what you're saying to them.
Right. Right.
That's your moment to rise and your moment to really, really hit home and see them eye to eye and exchange information. And that's really what you want to do with those guys. But, you know, you can't be afraid of the objections. They're always going to be there. They're always, always going to be there. I see it as a challenge. I see it as a challenge. I'm like, okay, how am I gonna be able to get information into this person who's all the windows are closed, all the doors are closed, and the garage door is locked up? I mean, I gotta get information to that person, some way, somehow, some shape.
Hey, some other people say, yeah, I'm already doing a loan modification. I'm in the middle of it. I'm going to trustee sales. So there's great a lot. I'll talk about the early ones.
And even with the NODs, I would tell people, yeah, you're doing a loan mod, but you know something? I wouldn't be here at your door if they had not filed public information that they already put a notice of default on your property. From here, it goes, only escalates to a notice of trustee sale and then the actual trustee sale. And I've had people say, what's a trustee sale? That's when the bank collects back their collateral, the house. They'll take it back because you're only paying for it. And you can only stay in it as long as you continue to pay for it. Once you stop paying, then they want it back so they can resell it and make their money. One of the other things I always tell people too, I go, name the two best buildings you see in every town.
Church
and a bank. Exactly. The church, because you and I build it, okay? And a bank, because, again, they're the mob. To me, they're the mob. I mean, I think they're cool. I don't got anything personally against them, but that's just the way I describe it to the homeowners. Remember, because you got to be able to talk their language. Remember the needle? You're talking to that junkie, you know, the mop. You can't tell that junkie about clean needles or, you know, a hospital or waiting in line to get seen by a doctor. Yeah, it's like, yeah, right, whatever. They're not gonna listen to you. So you have to be able to approach them at their level and know the best way to get to them. And you know, people have asked me, how do you script? I go, you can't script. It's impossible to script. You cannot script. Because we could all jump in the car right now, go to a door, and knock on the door, and then go down the street, knock on another door, and then go down and knock on the street another door, and not one of those people that we talk to will be the same.
Sure.
There's just no way to script. It's impossible to script. I take it by who I'm talking to, and that's it. But I've always gone by the mindset that, one, I'm not getting the listing. I don't want the listing. I'm not getting the listing. I'm just there for information. That's it. I'm just there for information. And then I ask people straight up, you know, because I've had people say, oh, you know what, I understand. I see all this. And it's okay. I'm doing a loan mod. And I'm almost done with it. And that's a perfect opportunity for me to say, can I get your phone number or an email so that I could just follow up with you in a couple of days? And if I've built enough rapport with them, they'll slam it right out to me. Oh, yeah, da-da-da-da, it's not a problem. And if not, they'll just say no. Okay, no problem. Do you mind if I come back in maybe like a couple weeks and just to check to see how your status is? Or maybe if you have any other questions, you can call me. It's free obligation, no problem. You can call us and we'll try to answer any questions you may have. You know? Because again, because I use the mob mentality already with this person, and then I'm telling them, just remember, you know, we're always here to cover you because you're dealing with the mob. And people get a kick out of it. They kind of laugh about it. They're like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. It is kind of like the mob. So, and that's your perfect excuse. You've set it back up to go back to them later on and go, hey, just checking on how you're doing with that mafia negotiation. Seriously. I mean, I've done that before to people just for my own record, just to see what I can do after a couple of weeks. And people laugh and then, you know what? They denied me. But I'm trying it again. You're trying it again. Okay. What's going to be different this time? Well, I don't know. They told me to resubmit it again. Oh, okay. Are you getting like a raise or anything at work? Yeah. Oh, okay. You realize you're putting the bullets in their own gun that they're going to shoot you with, right? What do you mean? Well, you're just telling them you're making more money. And they denied you because you didn't make enough money, right? Yeah. Ah. How do you know that? I've done a few of these. So, yeah. And you know, you and those people, some of those people I haven't been able to get through to. Okay? I understand you can't get through to everybody. You can't take it personal. It's going to happen. Yeah. And then I drive by the house and it's an REO now.
Right.
You know? But I've run into those people later on and they're like, you know what? I really wish I would have listened to you. Because everything you said happened exactly how you said it, like if you had a crystal ball.
But what happens is they listen to the people on the things they want to hear.
They have selective hearing. Right. It's like a suspect. If I'm interrogating you as a suspect, you have selective hearing. You're only going to hear what you think you want to hear or what you really only want to hear. You're talking to you hear. And I call it the third word syndrome. You're only going to listen to every three words. It's like that bad connection on the cell phone. That's what it is. Seriously, that's what it is. Because you can even see the people as you're talking to them at the door, and you can tell they're not listening to everything you're saying. So it's all a mindset, though. You've got to change the way you approach the door and the way you think. You can't walk, talk, or smell like a real estate agent. You got to walk, talk, and smell like just a person there to give information.
And that's it. Mindset is that what you would say? You decide what to do with him.
Yeah.
Is that your second?
Yeah, that's what I tell them. Because people go, well, how are you going to get paid? How am I going to get paid? I'm not. I'm just here to give you information. It's after you decide what you decide, then I may or may not get paid. I don't know. It depends on what you decide. But that's not what's important to me. What's important to me is to try to give you the best information, because the more information you have, the better decision you can make. And I told people straight up, I go, look, I'm not selling cell phones to you. I'm selling you a house. It's a 30-year commitment and hundreds of thousands of dollars every single month you're going to have to pay on. You know, it's your kids will be there, your wife will be there, your relatives will be there, your friends will be there. I mean, it's a big, big decision. But it's got to be your decision, it's not mine. I can't tell you how many times I've been across the table with people who, what would you do, Steve? What would I do? Well, I don't know. I don't know, that's a good question. No, seriously, what would you do? It's completely up to you.
Right.
Write it down. Write down the pros, write down the cons.
Right.
You know, have a glass of iced tea with the wife and decide. Or with the husband and decide. Right. That's the only thing you can do.
Because I always tell people, especially buyers, when you close escrow, I'm done. I'm not going to be making a payment. So you got to make sure this is what you want.
Yep.
This is what you want to do.
And I still follow up with even the people that I've sold homes to. I'll still send them an email, okay? I still send them emails after, like on the anniversary.
Right.
And I ask them how things are going, you know, what's going on with the house, if they have any questions or anything like that. Or even at tax time, property tax time is another time when I'll contact some of my buyers and stuff, because, you know, those tax bills come in and they get kind of scared. And I thought it was an impound payment. And I thought it was already included. I go, yeah, that's just a statement showing you what escrow is going to be paying to the bank, just so you know. But you're making more contact with them, so.
I have a question about your foreclosure radar.
Been there and set it up
any
way that you want. You can go and go for notice of trustee sales on the first, because some of the doors we went to were notice of trustee sales from the HOA.
Right, I get that.
Yeah.
Now, how do you know? Because I was trying to help them set them up. I can't figure out how to. Clean it where it's the first time they're being sent for trustee sale. I mean, I've done it a couple of different ways, but then when you look back, you know they may have been filed last year.
2010.
Or 2010. So they're not fresh.
Oh.
First time they've never been done.
Oh, okay. What we're doing is putting in the dates, the parameters. Because we're going after like the 30 to 60 day trustee sales.
See, mine down here, I don't know about us. I can't find any that far out. They're more like
it's only give you like
two to 3 weeks.
Okay.
They don't give us like if I put in for say January 31st, there's not going to be anything on the first. That's fine.
On foreclosure reader? Wow.
There's not going to be anything that says okay, there you have a trustee date.
Have you guys looked at Realty Track?
I don't have.
I have to go on foreclosure reader. But I have to check the dates. But you know, you can just look at the dates. Take me to the journal.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I was just saying that. I was just wondering how yours is filtered down.
Just that way, we set it up by dates. We set it up by dates. Anywhere.
So if you were going in today, you would be looking for
30 days.
30 out.
Yep. Because remember, we need the 14 days.
Yes.
In most cases.
I understand right. that.
So.
I'm not finding that far out.
Do you see them getting 30 days from Baltimore?
Yeah, where I'm not finding 30.
No, we're getting 30. We're getting 30 and 20 and 17.
And you're in San Diego County, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I can't speak for every area, but I know the areas that I'm tracking. They're just not that far out.
Go out to another zip code just to see right now.
I've gone to the city.
Oh, really?
I'm not seeing it that far out. I'm seeing it. If I go to, January 20th, 21st, or the end of the month, anything along that line, they're not there.
I was doing it at the beginning of December, and I saw one on January 17th.
Yeah, that was as far out as
so it. That's over 30 days.
But yeah, maybe one.
Yeah, one.
One or two, but not, not
but I've seen like a few 21 days, 23 days.
Yes, typically there have been 21.
Call Foreclosure Radar and ask them how often they update that data. Maybe
update every day.
Every day? Okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's something in the parameters of what you're setting out. There may be a box that's checked that needs to be unchecked to open it up. Because there's a lot of drop-down.
Yeah, there is a lot of drop-downs.
It drives me kind of crazy, too.
There's a lot of drop-downs. My office has had it for 4 or 5 years. There's people that just constantly do enemies. And then there's two guys that do it once a week, every Friday.
NODs are a little bit tougher because they're in some cases those people don't feel like there's they have time on their side.
Right.
So those are a little bit different approach on the NODs.
So you recommend just doing notice of sale, period.
I like the notice of sale because I've got them up against the wall.
Right.
And they have to decide. They have to do something.
And they are foreclosed.
My
office bought two yesterday.
Yeah.
Two in Bernina, one on our tickets.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I know they're foreclosing. And like I said, I always describe the two options that the bank has. And they'll exercise either one of the two options. They don't care. The mob don't care. The mob will smile at you as they shoot you.
Right.
And that's just the way the banks do it as well. So, but when you have a notice of trustee sale, there's more urgency. And you just have to describe patiently that urgency to the home. So they're a little bit tougher in that sense too, because sometimes they think, oh, you're just being pushy, but when you back it up with data and you start showing them, especially like on Ripoff Report, there's a lot of good stuff on that website. Sometimes late at night, I don't have a TV, so sometimes late at night I sit there and I log on to that website and I'm just reading some of the stories. Some of the stories are just like, you just can't believe what you're reading on there. They're really good. Some are really good. Yeah, copy and paste them, put them on a Word document, and print them up, and stick them in your packet.
And you're doing mostly the Longmont one?
Yep.
Stories about Longmont?
Yep. Yep, because that's mostly what everybody's doing. That's mostly, and there's even some, I think I've read in the past, where there was some in there where they said they did a bankruptcy. But, after 30 days, the bank can pull the property back out.
Right.
And people think, well, I did a bankruptcy, so I'm good now for a while.
No. And then the judge throws it out, right? There's no equity in there. Because I think people are not using the bankruptcy thing the way it was constructed to be used. The bankruptcy thing is to put the property in there, pull the equity out, and pay off all the debt. And sell everything out. But bankruptcy attorneys are making it seem like it's just...
Well, there's no equity. You're giving it back. You're surrendering it back.
But they don't want it. Bankruptcy court can't do anything.
No, they don't can't do anything. So
they toss it out.
Yeah, they toss it out, and then the bank takes it back.
Right.
Because the bank pulls it because it's
so they're waiting for it to come out.
Mm-hmm. But people think, a lot of people have this mixed number that, I'm good for 6 months because I just did a trustee sale. And I always tell them, I go, the bank doesn't have to notify or post anything on the door anymore. Because you did it. You did a bankruptcy. You surrendered the property.
At the ninth hour.
Yeah. They can just, I've had people, I was at one person's door, when these guys came up and they had bought the property.
Right.
And the
that
guys.
Happened.
Yeah. And the homeowners are like, is that true? Can that happen? I go, yeah, that can. And they had paperwork.
Because they might have write it the sale.
Exactly. And they're like, no, but we did a bankruptcy. Yeah. And once you do the bankruptcy, they don't have to notify you anymore.
Right.
And they're like, that can happen? Mm-hmm. And they're calling their attorney, and you know, their attorney's already got paid, so he's not an attorney phone.
Right. I think they've
helped you out of the house shortly, and get evicted or something.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that'd be harder for them to rent.
But it just doesn't make sense. The attorney is not telling them how a bankruptcy really works.
Well,
they don't. Yeah. But then they want to say, we don't care.
It's always somebody else's fault. That's why I never make a decision for a homeowner. Obviously, it's completely up to you, because they'll throw us under the bus faster than that.
Oh, and run us over?
Yeah. And back up on us.
And back up.
So, just go there with the positive mindset that, you know what, you're just going to give information. That's it. That's it. Seriously. That's all I do.
That's good.
That's all I do is sometimes I'll go there with my daughter. When I used to go, I'd go to the door with my daughter Arisa, or I'd go with Giovanni, or a couple times I even showed up with the stroller with Domenico. You know, I mean, how threatening is that? You know, it's not threatening. So. And my kids would go with me, and most of us aren't going to lie in front of our kids, and the homeowner knows that, and they see, you know, your kids with you, so okay, these guys have got to be legit. My kids have actually gotten listings from me, because I've taken them to listing presentations with me, and people have literally told me, I know that you're legit, because if you brought your kids, then I can trust you. Yeah, and I never brought them for that reason. Honestly, I didn't. I didn't have anybody to take care of them.
Yeah.
So I had to bring them
you
with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have a choice, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying...
That's the same situation.
Yeah.
That can take.
And my kids would go with me, and you know, they knew to sit down and be quiet and not interfere and not pick up anything that they heard, and they would sit there real quietly. Like I said, I never did it with the intentions of, okay, I'm going to weasel in through. It was just like, I'm a single dad, so I got my kids. Okay, shoot, what am I going to do with them? I can't drop them off at McDonald's, you know.
Right.
Play in the playground, I'll be back in a couple of hours.
Right, right.
So I took them with me.
Right.
And so that's how Arisa got started. She walked by and said, I'm bored. So, okay, well, you're bored, come here, I'll get you on board. So she started working with me, and then after a while she was negotiating files, and she was 13, so.
How do you work your office then now? Okay, you take the listing, you have somebody that does all your...
I do everything right now. I'm in the process of hiring people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have Meyer, right?
Yep.
Somebody like that process everything from you?
No. Right. Yep. Because I use a short sale commander. That's why I was asking you guys how you guys communicate with your sellers. I use Short Sale Commander. I'll put everything onto the file in Short Sale Commander, and then I can assign it to you to negotiate that file, and I can assign it to you to negotiate the other one. And the only thing that you guys can see in my account is whatever I assign to you. You don't see all my other listings. You just see what's assigned to you.
Oh, okay.
And when I see it on the master list, I can see who's assigned to what files. And then if you're assigned to these files and you're assigned to these files, I expect you to update the files every 3 days of what you're doing when you're calling the bank. And then my clients will log on through my website, and they'll use their username and password, and they'll log on. They'll be able to see what's happening in the notes of the file.
Oh, okay.
So, because I don't have time to pick up the phone and answer phone calls and stuff.
Oh, no, right.
That's really nice.
Yeah, most of the way that people get a hold of me is they'll email me and they'll ask me, hey, can I talk to you? And I'll tell you, yeah, give me 10 minutes or give me half an hour. I can call you back tomorrow. I'll call you back in an hour or whatever. And that's how I do it. Because once you leave me a message, I pick it up, but I can't, you know, always call you right back. I try to, but, you know, in a sense, I'm a one-man show, so it's hard. But
thank you.
Lee's already busted my shoes about that.